Welcome to the Irish Distillers Tasting Club, a six-part series for whiskey lovers or anyone who's interested in learning more about the Irish whiskies we produce at Midleton Distillery, County Cork. I'm Ger Garland, and I will be your host for the series. Over six episodes, I will chat to many of my colleagues, true masters of their crafts, to bring our products to life for you. From flavours and aromas to cask selection, and the wonderful stories behind each product, we will share insights into how we create some of the world's most enjoyed Irish whiskies. In episode 2, I meet Irish distillers master blender Billy Lighton. With over 40 years experience in the Irish whiskey industry, Billy was recently inducted into the Whiskey Magazine Hall of Fame. Day to day, Billy is responsible for creating iconic blends within the Irish distillers portfolio of brands. In today's episode, we will take a closer look at a very special Irish whiskey, which dates back to 1912, Redbreast Single Pot Still. So, Billy, how are you today?
I'm great, dear. Thank you very much for that lovely introduction. And you're dead right. It is one of my favourite whiskies as well. Top-selling single pot still Irish whiskey in the world, by the way. Fantastic expression of an Irish single pot still whiskey. The feature of the whole Redbreast family is the inclusion of whiskey that's been matured in Oloroso sherry casks. The brand itself goes way back.
It was originally W&A Gilbey's who were the people who invented this off-premise sales, and John Jemison used to supply them with whiskey in the 1870s and 1880s.
It wasn't always sold as Redbreast.
Yeah.
The Redbreast name came about, I think the first mention of it was it 1912?
Yeah,
I think the
August in 1912, yeah.
And Gilbey's were whiskey bonders, but they were also wine importers. So they would have had those fortified wine casks becoming available. They ship in the fortified wine, which would have been done in bulk and cask back in those days.
So they would have sold a lot of fortified wine. They would have had a lot of empty barrels. And as you know, when you've lots of empty barrels, you rock up to your nearest single pot still distillery and you fill them full of pot still spirit. Is it as easy as that, do you think?
Back in the day, I would suggest there maybe wasn't the same wood management as we have today. Through Redbreast, we're recreating what would have happened back in the day, back in the early 1900s, because, you know, one of the interesting things is if you're in a sherry bodega in Jerez, mm-hmm. and look at all the casks with the sherry in them, they're all made from American oak.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas the casks, the ex-sherry casks that we use are actually made from Spanish oak. And the reason for that is whenever the sherry was being shipped in bulk, they wouldn't have used the American oak casks from their Solera system because those casks are there and fixed. So they would have had shipping casks made, and they would have had the shipping casks made from the locally available wood, you know, which would have been then Spanish oak. So that's where the tradition of us only using Spanish oak.
What flavours are created by that marriage of the pot still whiskey and Oloroso?
I think you've got to look at, you know, where are those flavours coming from? You know, the wood itself is quite important. You've got the spiciness coming from the distillate. You've got the fruity character coming from the sherry itself. And then you have the deeper, nutty, toasted wood character coming from the casks themselves. So all those flavours come together with a very complex finish that you'll find in Redbreast 12-year-old.
It could be 120 years to grow an oak tree. You fell it in a sustainable way. You cut it into rough staves. You leave it outside for 18 months. And then you have another 2 years of it being seasoned. So it's almost 3.5 years before you...
Well, from I place an order with the cooperage, yeah. It takes 5 years to have a cask here in Midleton for filling with whiskey. So the planning and forecasting is very, very important.
And that's just for a barrel.
That's just for one barrel. So if you take Redbreast 12-year-old as the example, you know, we just don't open a valve and there you go, Redbreast 12-year-old. We already must have in our warehouses the next 12 years worth of Redbreast 12-year-old. Now, we've kind of focused on the sherry cask inclusion here. Now, in Redbreast, there is a certain amount of ex-bourbon barrels in there as well. And it's the combination of the spirit type, the cask type, and the age that all come together. We've talked about it maybe long enough.
My mouth is very dry now, Billy.
Let's have a little sample here anyway. Bartender's measure.
Just these glasses make it look like a larger measure, but these are responsible measures, I'm sure.
These are absolutely responsible measures. I think one of the first things that, you know, even before taking a taste is looking at the colour of it. You know, a lot of that colour, you know, you'd expect from Oloroso sherry, the darkness, and like a lot of this colour is coming from the sherry seasoning itself. Some of it's coming from the wood, like that Spanish oak. So all contributing to the colour. I mean, the nose. You know, it's hard to know where to start when you're describing the noses
because so rich.
Because there is the richness. I think it's the fruitiness actually maybe is what comes through most of all. But there's a whole spectrum of flavors. There are aromas from the sweetness of the vanilla, which I said, you know, coming from the use of the ex bourbon barrels. You know, you get the heavier character there coming through. Like from the Spanish oak, a little bit of a little bit of toasted wood in there, hazelnuts or maybe even like
walnut or
bitter almond, that type of a nuttiness. Yeah,
I'm allowed to taste it now. That's okay.
And one of the things, whenever we're looking at pot still whiskey, pot still whiskey in general, is what does it do to your mouth? First sip.
Yeah.
Really gives your mouth that silky smooth.
It's a lovely mouth coating,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, full of flavour.
And a bit of spiciness on the tip of my tongue, but very attractive.
Yeah, it's how that whole flavour sensation comes through. You say you get that spiciness on the tip of your tongue. You get fruitiness and a coating on the sides of your tongue. Spiciness in the middle there. It's a complete flavour experience.
Yeah, it is, just loads. Is there anything in particular that you would think would complement this whiskey from a food perspective?
If you want to have food with this, I would tend to keep it very simple in that, you know, even from the nose there, you can get little cues. Like there's nuttiness there. There's a little bit of like stone fruit, berries, that type of thing. You could go and get yourself, you know, some walnuts, which would be complimentary. But I mean, if you bring all those things together, I would be looking at something sweet. You know, like, I mean, it's often described as Christmas cake. Christmas cake is maybe the obvious one, but you can take that apart and get the citrus, you know, get the peel that's in there. But it would keep it simple. If you like nuts, fruit, and you know what's really good with it would be a nice piece of cheese. So maybe a goat's cheese. So something. We've spoken about the texture of the whiskey.
And yes.
So there's some nice soft cheeses that, if you have the cheese along with the whiskey, it adds to that mouth coating effect and gives a little bit more texture. But say, I would keep it simple, if at all. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Billy. And thank you to all of you for joining us. And we hope to see you again sometime soon in Middleton. Sláinte.
Sláinte. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Billy Lighton, Master Blender at Irish Distillers. Please feel free to leave a review and of course subscribe. I've been your host, Ger Garland. Until next time.